thank God for the opportunity to preach. I'd like to turn the book of Acts, chapter 20. And before we start with our message, we do want to say that we stand in awe of our preacher brethren. We have tremendous respect for each of them, and I am the least of all the preacher brethren here. This is not the message that I wanted to speak. It is the one that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart, and therefore I must preach it. But in the book of Acts, chapter 20, we want to speak to preachers. But in Acts 20, the 28th verse, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the Apostle Paul, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In this chapter, we see that Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus. We see that in the 17th verse, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. We know that the Apostle Paul is speaking to the preachers at the church of Ephesus. And having called the elders together, he speaks of his ministry among them. Notice, beginning with verse 18, and when they, that is the elders of the church, were come unto him, that is Paul, he, Paul, said unto them, the elders, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I have been with you at all seasons, good, the bad, because I was there. I was there. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Not just outward humility, but humility of mind. Humility in his thinking. And with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Again, we speak this message today, and God knows our heart. We speak this message more to myself than anyone else. We see after Paul reviews his ministry in verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Then in verse 28, he begins to exhort them. We want to look at three things in the 28th verse. We see that he first of all says, take heed unto yourselves. Then he says, take heed unto the flock. So we see the first point of the message will be taking heed unto ourselves. Second point would be taking heed unto the flock. Then we see in the latter part of the verse, he gives us some motives for doing those things. The first thing we read here in the 28th verse is, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's we as God's men, we as God called preachers, take heed unto yourself. Now the word heed means an intent, earnest contemplation. Intent, earnest contemplation. It means to turn one's attention for ourselves, to examine our hearts. In the last couple of weeks at our home church, we've preached on the need of revival. And as I've done so, I see that I need revival as much as anybody. And there's no doubt today that we need revival amongst church members. There's no doubt about that, and I don't No one will argue that. The very word revival means to return to life. We need that. Means to recover vigor. Means to quicken, to refresh. And there's no doubt that our churches are filled with folks that need revival. But there's also no doubt, at least in my life, that I need revival. God's preachers also stand in need today of revival. And I wonder if perhaps the reason we do not see revival is because we are not revived like we ought to be. These are things we need to consider. But again, from the very meaning of the word, it is easy to see the great need of spiritual revival. God's people, church members, are in great need of revival. And that includes God's men. Individual church members grow cold. Because the love of many, or because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is true of church members. That is also true of Baptist preachers. Therefore, we must take heed lest our love grows cold. Church members fall from their steadfastness and need revival. But God's preachers also fall from their steadfastness. And they too need revival. Amen. We see that church members sin and they rebel against God and they stand in need of revival. But so do God's preachers. We sin, we rebel against God, therefore we must take heed Amen. To ourselves. Amen. Church members Amen. Leave their first love and go out and play the harlot. And so do God's preachers many times. So we again need to take heed. Church members lose their willingness and joy in God's work. And if we're not careful, Baptist preachers will do the same. Therefore, take heed unto ourselves. Church members will set their treasures on earthly things rather than heavenly things, and God's preachers are not beyond that. Therefore, take heed of yourselves. Church members cease to pray like they ought. No, so do we. Cease to pray like we ought. Church members cease to pray for their pastor like they ought to, and the pastor ceases to pray for his people like he ought to. Therefore, take heed unto ourselves. These things that we just mentioned put people in a weakened condition. And that includes preachers. Puts us in a weakened condition. In Psalm 85 in verse 6, the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" That ought to be the earnest cry and plea of God's people. Everywhere, including Baptist preachers. Wilt thou not revive us? Us preachers, wilt thou, O God, not revive us again? And maybe if we have revival, we will see revival in individual lives in our churches. Wilt thou not revive us again? All those who are truly interested in revival will plead with the psalmist in Psalm 139, I believe it's the 23rd, 24th verse. He says, "Search me, O God." We as preachers need to cry that. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting." We need to follow the directions of Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 and verse 40. He said, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." We need to take heed to ourselves. Several reasons. We as preachers need to take heed to ourselves because we have a depraved nature. We are just as depraved as anybody else. We must take heed because we have sinful inclinations. Just like all the church members have those sinful inclinations. There isn't a soul here that does not have a totally depraved nature. There is not a soul here that is not inclined to sin. That includes all of us as preachers. Therefore, we need to take heed to ourselves. And even after we as preachers preach against sin, sin still dwells in us. Still there. Sin dwells in our hearts. Our hearts as preachers. And it dwells in the hearts of those who hear our message. The remnants of pride many times are in our hearts. Therefore, take heed unto ourselves. The remnant of unbelief is sometimes found in our hearts as pastors. Therefore, take heed unto ourselves. Sometimes there will be that self-seeking attitude in our hearts as pastors. Therefore, we need to take heed of ourselves. There will be hypocrisy in our hearts. So we as pastors, again, must take heed lest there be any hypocrisy in our hearts and all the other sorts of sins that may dwell in our hearts. These hearts of yours and mine, one time or another, deceive us. Therefore, take heed. Take heed unto ourselves. And those sins that now seem to lie dead, if you're not careful, they'll revive. They'll revive. Therefore, we as preachers need to take heed to ourselves. We need to take heed to ourselves because Satan will attack you more than anybody else. No church member is attacked as severely and as often as the pastor. Therefore, the pastor must take heed because he is going to be attacked by the devil. See, Satan hates Christ more than any of us here. He hates Jesus Christ more than he hates any of us because Jesus Christ is the general of the field. Because he is the captain of our salvation. He hates Christ. And he hates those who are under Christ pastoring his churches. And just as he will attack Jesus Christ, he will attack us. And he will attack us more than he will all the other soldiers. Take heed. Pastors, take heed because the devil has a special eye upon you. He has a special interest in you. Therefore, take heed. As wise and learned as you are, take heed because the devil will outwit you. Take heed. The devil is a greater scholar than you and I. And he will trip us up before we're even aware of it. Take heed. He will try and cheat you as pastors of your faith. He will try and make you lazy and unfaithful. And if he can tempt a minister, a God-called man, into covetousness or scandal, he will then glory against the church and say to that church, "These are your holy preachers. See how they are living. Look at them. What has their religion done for them? What is all their preaching done for them? Look at them. We need to take heed, because he's there to attack us. Take heed. Take heed. Never stop taking heed to ourselves. Never a moment in the day when we should not be on guard against the devil's attacks. And oh, he has so many methods. We need to be on guard. We need to beware, because he is there to attack us at all times. He will use you if he can tempt you into some sin. He will use you just as the Philistines did Samson. He'll first deprive you of your spiritual sight. Then pretty soon you'll lose your strength. Maybe even your life. We need to take heed. We need to take heed to ourselves, because there are many eyes upon us. Everybody's watching. It's not a complaint, it's a fact. Every one of your church members are watching you. And some of them want you to fall, because it makes them feel more comfortable in their sin if their pastor does the same thing. So we need to take heed, because there are folks watching us. Little boys and girls are watching us. Moms and dads are watching us. Husbands, leaders of the homes are watching us. They're all watching. And some of them are just waiting for that one slip. Take heed. Take heed unto ourselves. We need to take heed, because we can unsay with our lives everything we have preached with our lips. And it doesn't take long. You can preach a message for 45 minutes or an hour, and it only takes one act to undo everything that you have said. So we need to take heed to ourselves. Need to take heed that we be careful what we say. Just takes one proud word to undo much work. It just takes one lordly word to undo. It just takes one needless contention. One covetous action may cut the throat of many a sermon. Take heed. Take heed what we say. Take heed that there be no disproportion between our preaching and our living. It's a lot easier to preach than it is to live. It's a lot easier to preach against sin than it is to overcome sin. And every one of us here can preach against sin, and we can preach hard against sin, but it's another thing to overcome it in our lives. And we must take heed that our lives condemn sin. Not just our messages, not just our words, but take heed that our very lives condemn sin. Take heed to keep out those lusts. Now, I'll be honest with you, it scares me sometimes, the thoughts that dash across my mind. It scares me to death. Because I know if the thought's there, the capability of doing those things is there as well. Some of those thoughts come across even during preaching. You need to take heed. Take heed to what we think, what we say. Keep out those lusts, passions, those worldly inclinations. Study our own hearts. Study our own hearts. See, notice the order here. Take heed unto yourselves, and then to the church, then to the flock of God. We must take, as preachers, we must take personal inventory before we are capable of taking heed to the flock. And I believe there is a danger of being so concerned taking heed with the flock that we forget to take heed of ourselves. How many times, again, this may not be a problem to anybody else, but how many times I study and sometimes I stop and the only reason is to get a message. Perhaps not for any personal blessing, but just for message. That's dangerous. It can become a habit where you're not getting what you ought to. We believe in individual Bible study. That's true of pastors. Not just for messages, but for our own living, for our own strength. We need to take heed to ourselves, because such a great work requires great grace. There is no greater work today than the work being a shepherd of God's flock. There's no greater work. There is no greater responsibility. It requires great grace. If you and I aren't careful, we preach on our own sometimes. We do things on our own sometimes. We need to take heed. Go to the Lord for grace. Oh, we need grace. We can't preach without it. Not like we ought to. We can't live like we ought to without it. We can't study. We can't pray. We desperately need God's amazing grace in our lives, that we might be able to take heed of the flock. If we lead on the troops of Christ against Satan and his followers, if we engage ourselves against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, a heartless, careless attitude is not going to accomplish those things. If you and I are not careful, many times we grow heedless. Many times we grow careless. So we must take heed to ourselves. God's men, you may render God more service. You may render Him more disservice because of that. We are in a position where we can render God great service, but that position puts us in a place where we, if we're not careful, can yield great disservice to the Lord, His church. Take heed of our own driftings. We can drift, not even know we've drifted, until we've drifted so far. But we drift. We as God's men drift away sometimes. And we carry on preaching as if nothing's wrong. Something desperately wrong. We live in sinful times. We live in a time where it's okay in the eyes of society to murder babies. We live in a time where the marriage bed is defiled, where sin is rampant, and where the family is being torn apart. And if there was ever a time that God's preachers needed a revival, certainly it's today. There was ever a time when sin needed to be condemned in both preaching and living. It's certainly today. Therefore, we must take heed unto ourselves. There is nobody in the church that loves the flock more than that pastor. Nobody. There is nobody that cares for that flock like that pastor. But if that pastor's not careful, that love can grow cold.
that terror can cease to exist. And it's awfully hard to preach to folks that you don't love and that you don't care about. So we must take heed that our love for them doesn't grow cold. We must take heed that our concern and care for them doesn't grow cold. And if we're not careful, the flesh will get in the way and those things will grow cold. The pastor loves the members more than anybody else in the church, and yet he is most often accused of being unloving. And if he lets the flesh get in his way, he'll just say, "Why should I do this? Why should I stay up day and night praying for folks who do not appreciate it?" That's the flesh. You can stay up. We ought to. We get a member on our heart. We have a burden for them and we carry that burden everywhere we go. And we cry unto God and we plead unto God on their behalf. And they criticize. But they don't know. And if we're not careful, the flesh will get in the way. And we'll quit. We need a burden like we've never had before. We come in, we study for a message, there's a burden on our heart. Prepare that message. And as we're preparing that message, individuals cross our thoughts and the burden increases. The message is prepared and we carry that message all through the week and it's a burden. It's a burden. Then it comes time to deliver the message. The burden is still there. And you see the folks walk in and many of them act like they're in pain, that they really don't want to be there. And the burden just increases that much more. Then as you're preaching the message, the burden is still there. And when the message is done, the burden is still there. And then you can begin to pray that God would apply it to their hearts. But if we're not careful, that burden will die. Take heed. Take heed unto ourselves. We as Baptist preachers, and again, I have the greatest respect for the men here. Really do. But we need to take heed to ourselves. We need revival in our lives. We need a revived burden. I read where Nehemiah fell on his knees and fasted and prayed and wept for the children of Israel. How often do we cry out unto God for our people? God, show them where they're wrong. Convict them of their sin and lead them in the right way. How much do we really pray for? I don't mean just mentioning them in a casual way. I mean really pleading with God on their behalf. How many of us really pleaded with God before we came to this conference that God would revive us? Not just mentioning it in a casual way, but really pleading and begging with God. God, revive me. If no one else needs it, Lord, I do. Revive me. In desperate need. Revive. We grow hard. We grow cold toward situations. Need to take heed. Secondly, he says, take heed over the flock. There are those of the flock who are young, weak. Some may be weak, though they've been there a long time. They're still weak. You need to take heed of them. Watch over them. There's no doubt that that's probably the most common condition amongst the flock, the weak condition, young and weakened condition. Most of God's people content themselves with a very low form of spiritual living. They content themselves with that. And it's a sad thing to see Christians weak because it exposes them. Exposes them to danger. Takes away the sweetness of God's way. Makes them less serviceable to the Lord. And a seducer will always shake the weak. We need to take heed over the flock, over those weak individuals. A weak individual is less able to resist and stand against an encounter. Well, we must take heed over them. Then there are those in the flock who are declining. And it's so sad to watch them lose so much of their life, peace, joy, and become serviceable to the devil. We need to take heed of those folks that are declining. Then there are those who are strong. They can't be ignored. We need to take heed of those. Help them in making further progress, directing them with the Word of God. Then we must have a special eye upon families in our church. I went to see a man not too long ago about a situation in his family, a member of the church. And he met me at the door and he said, "It is none of your business what goes on in this house." It is my business! The day he joined that assembly, it became my business. I have a responsibility. Take heed. We need to take heed of the families in our church, because again, the families today in America are being torn to shreds. Family living, as you and I know it, is a thing of the past in most cases. We must have a special eye upon families. Must be diligent in visiting. I believe in visiting. Believe in it. We must be diligent in visiting the sick, the distressed, just helping them to prepare. We must be busy. We must reprove and admonish those who live offensively. You can't ignore it. It's not going to go away. You've got to reprove them. And we do it all with the Word of God. As Brother Mitchell Smith preached. This work that we have to do must be carried on purely for God. And then again, that's when we get back to taking heed to ourselves. How much do we do perhaps for self instead of totally for God's glory? But it must be entirely, purely for God, with not any private ends of our own. And it must be carried on diligently. Diligently and laboriously. It's a labor. It's a labor, it's a work. It must be carried out diligently. Can't be careless about it. But if we don't take heed, we will be. If we don't take heed, we may become lazy in some things and lax in some things that we ought not to be lax in. We need to take heed. I imagine all of us are lax in some things that we ought not to be lax in. Speaking of church capacity, we need to take heed. And then as Paul said, the work must be carried on with great humility. Great humility. God doesn't call preachers because they're better than anybody else. This is the praise. Calls him for his honor and for his glory. And there isn't anything that ought to humble us more than the fact that God called us to preach. Need humility. But if we, again, do not take heed, pride will get there. There will be that pride. We must be serious, earnest, and zealous in our work. Church membership, it's not like joining some club. It's serious business. Preaching is not like being the leader of some club. It's serious business. And there's no business more serious. We need to be serious. We need to be earnest, zealous in our work. If we're not careful, we lose our zeal. Lose our zeal. We get tired just like anybody else. We get sick just like anybody else. We get lazy just like anybody else. Therefore, we must take heed. Therefore, you as church members must pray that God would watch over your pastor. Pray for him night and day. Don't just mention it in a casual way. Plead with God on behalf of him. Beg God for him. Beg that God would bless him and bless his preaching. How often members come into the house of God, they have not prayed for the service. They have not prepared themselves for the service. And then they go away wondering why they didn't get anything out of it. But if needs be, we ought to stay up all night and plead with God that He bless His Word. That God would revive us as individuals. Pray that He might speak boldly. Contrary to what many think, boldness doesn't come naturally in spiritual things. There are many things that I do not want to preach because I know it's going to upset some folks. God must give us the boldness to preach those things. And it's the responsibility of every church member to pray that God would give their pastor boldness to preach what God would have them to preach. God would bless His Word in the salvation of souls and in the conviction of God's people. Church members, often do you plead with God and beg God on behalf of your pastor. Pray that God would give him strength. He's got a fleshly body just like you, and he grows tired just like yours. He requires sleep just like you do. He requires rest just like you. Pray for him. Pray for him. And we as pastors, of course, cannot stop praying for our people. And notice in closing, and very briefly, notice the motives. This taking heed to ourselves and to the flock of God. The nature of the office is an overseer. The very nature of the office requires us to take heed. It is the office of an overseer, one who oversees. And each pastor has a responsibility of overseeing their flock, no one else's. Their flock, that's their business. They have the responsibility to oversee that flock. Because, notice, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. You did not put yourself in that position on your own authority. The Holy Ghost placed you there. Therefore, take heed. Because it's not something that a bunch of people just get together and vote. The Holy Spirit places them there. We realize a vote was taken, but the Holy Spirit places them there. Then notice, thirdly, the dignity of the object committed to our charge, the Church of God.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Church of God. It's not the assembly of some man. Amen. It's the church of the living God. Amen. It's His house. Therefore, we as God's preachers must be diligent in taking heed to ourselves, because we have the responsibility of the church of God. Amen. We must take heed to the members that God has placed in that assembly, and God places the members in. Amen. Not all of them. God places them there. We must take heed because it's the church of the living God. We must never give up praying for them and never lose our burden, because it's the church of the living God. Then notice lastly, and we'll quit, the price which was paid, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Was not bought with money. It was bought with the precious blood. Jesus Christ. When God called us to preach, He placed us in the church of the living God, which He has purchased with His blood, and He said, lead them in My ways. Lead them for My honor and My glory. And again, everything we do must be for the honor and glory of God. If we're not careful, oh, we're all so proud. If we're honest, there isn't one of us here that doesn't like to hear how much we're appreciated, how good we are. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with telling someone you appreciate them. But take heed. Take heed. God bless you.